Welcome to VGK Today, presented by BetMGM, where we give you an inside look at the Vegas Golden Knights 2024 Stanley Cup playoff run. I'm Justin Russo with the Golden Knights on Wednesday, April 24th, with the VGK getting ready for today's Game 2 against the Dallas Stars. The Golden Knights did their part in stealing home ice in the series in Game 1, and now look to take a 2-0 series lead against the Stars, just as they did in last year's Western Conference Final. The players earned themselves an off day on Tuesday in Dallas after their 4-3 win in the series opener, helping them rest up for an important Game 2. After the break, we'll chat with Ashley Weiss, who takes us through the day for the VGK and helps us set the table for Game 2.
Hello, I am Kerry Buboltz, President and CEO for your Vegas Golden Knights. I am a proud board member of the Nevada Donor Network Foundation. With over 600 Nevadans waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, we can all do our part to bring hope to those waiting. I am partnering with Nevada Donor Network to raise awareness about registering to be a hero. I am a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor, and proud Nevadan. Are you? Join us at wearenevadans.org.
Vegas! On behalf of Nocvi Injury Law, Golden Pipes, Carnell Johnson.
If you've been hurt, Nocvi is the word. Call 702-INJURY.
For Han Nocvi with Nocvi Injury Law, imagine you've been injured in an accident. Now, do you want an assembly line law firm that treats you like a number and settles early for easy money? Hell no. Call me now for a free consultation at 702-INJURED.
So back here on VGK Today, joined by ringside reporter for Scripps Sports, Ashley Weiss, who's kind enough to join us. And Ashley, VGK had an off day today after their Game 1 win. How did that go for the guys?
It was good. It was a good opportunity for, you know, the team to reset. You never know with those super late starts. 8:50 local time is when the puck dropped here in Dallas. So, you know, it's all wrapping up by time post-game media and everything's done around midnight, not getting back to the hotel until about 12:30. Then they have, you know, post-game meals. And then you have to unwind, right? It's funny. I think even as broadcasters or fans or, you know, anyone in a game, you come home from a playoff game and it takes you a while to get that energy level down. So I can only imagine what it's like trying to go to sleep as a player after that. So a slow moving morning for them, but, you know, had their breakfast, had a team stretch, team meetings. I know that some guys were able to, you know, kind of unwind by hanging out in a nice little courtyard. It was a beautiful day here in Dallas. Some guys just, you know, unwinding, hanging out by the pool a little bit this afternoon, getting their treatments done, and a big team dinner tonight at a steakhouse here in town. They had a team dinner at the hotel the first night that they arrived. So that's another thing that's just really good about this time of year. It really is a really good bonding opportunity for the players. And I think that's why you see teams get closer and closer as, you know, playoffs go on, especially new additions. Like by the end of the postseason last year, you never would have known that, you know, a guy like Ivan Barbashev hadn't been there all along. And it's those dinners and those memories made not only on the ice, but off it that create those relationships and the bond and the stories that we love to share about these guys so much.
Well, a well-earned steak dinner after a nice Game 1 victory. And, you know, we were unsure at how Game 1 would go, given they were a bit shaky down the stretch, but they flipped that switch as they seemed to think they could, and they did in that Game 1 victory. But, you know, you mentioned Ivan Barbashev from last year, and I think this year we have to talk about some of the additions, especially in Tomáš Hertl, who gets his first playoff goal with the VGK last night. How has he been acclimating to the team? And, of course, he had his first action with Mark Stone last night, who was returning himself. But what have you seen from Tomáš Hertl?
You know, it's crazy. On the ice, as advertised, so I don't want to take away from how impressive it is that he's acclimated as quickly as he has on the ice, but the relationships that he's built off the ice, it's hard to even honestly put into words, but you ask any person about him on the team, any coach about him, and people's faces light up immediately talking about, you know, what a happy guy he is, that he's in the best mood all the time. And then you know, take into account that this is the first time he's been through this kind of experience. You would never know it. If it's put any kind of, you know, stress or if there's been any level of discomfort, you just would never know. He seems so happy to be at the rink at all times. Just one of those people that really does seem to never have a bad day. And if he does, he doesn't show it. And something that's been really cool to see develop is the friendship between him and Mark Stone. I know that when, you know, Hertl was first acquired, a lot of people brought up that I think his only career fight was the fight against Mark Stone a couple years back, well, you know, Mark Stone, I believe he picked him up from the airport, because I know he picked up multiple of the new additions to the airport when they arrived in Vegas. And, you know, I was told that those two were going to lunches, dinners together on a regular basis, and they kind of confirmed that. And it'd be cool to be a fly on the wall, some of those conversations. You heard Mark Stone talking about it after the game, and Tomas Hertl said the same thing as well, but, you know, just talking a lot of hockey. So, you know, it's clear that they were both itching to get in the lineup. And, you know, Hertl did say that he thinks that just knowing what someone is like to communicate with and to talk to off the ice does go a long way when you're trying to jump into playoff action. But also just two guys with really high hockey IQs. And I think that stood out there pretty quickly. Of course, Mark Stone wasn't 100% satisfied with his game. I think he's kind of the player that's always going to be that way. Always going to be that way a little bit. But I remember last year too, though, he took that huge step between his first game back and game two. So curious to see if that's, you know, kind of something similar that we see tomorrow, despite the fact he scored a minute and 23 in, right? So you can't complain about that from that perspective.
Yeah, it's funny looking at the goals where he gets one, Tomas Hertl gets one, and then all they have to say after the game is, well, we left a lot on the table and there was a lot to still improve upon. So it takes you into the mindset of some of these guys and how they assess the game versus how it might look to us on television. But, you know, you talk about the game one victory, and Gary Lawless said yesterday that it was kind of an unknown for this team where they had to figure out how things were going to fall into place and how the pieces were all going to gel. And the fact they got a win is just a bonus on top of everything, because now they have that win in their pocket. And they have three home games remaining that they can control the series with. But we look forward to game two today. And what are some adjustments that you think we can expect from the VGK in this one?
You know, Bruce Cassidy is saying that they are going to have to generate more offense. They do feel like they generated much more than the shot total show. You know, he said we're not a high shot volume team, so that's not something that he's harping on, you know, necessarily. But they do know that they're going to have to generate more scoring opportunities, more grade A scoring opportunities, he felt that they did make life difficult on Jake Oettinger at times, just getting bodies in front of the net, getting rebounds, things like that. So they definitely will have to continue that. I expect to see the physicality continue to ramp up. They were happy with that part of their game, but they're also a team that knows how much that can wear a team down as the series goes on. So Nick Waugh is the one who kind of drove the bus with that last game, which, you know, he's on that line. You expect that to be the case, but maybe look for some others to kind of follow suit there, I guess. As things get more physical, you know that things are going to be emotional on the side of the Dallas Stars. And that's not something that this team shies away from. They feel that they're at their best when they're drug into the fight. You know, I guess they were the ones that kind of established the tone early with the early goals in game one. But also just want to talk about you talking about how you didn't know if they would flip the switch, and it seemed like they did game one. I think that's something that really stood out. The experience of the Golden Knights, that was my biggest takeaway from game one. It seemed like even post game, Jonathan Marchessault was very much, you know, like, this is cool, but there's so much to be done, that played it off like, you know, no big deal. And that's exactly how it has to be. Even like a guy like Braden McNabb really stood out to me, and not just because of the goal, but because he's the kind of guy that you appreciate in the regular season. But when it's playoff time, his game is built for playoff hockey, and he might be doing the same things that he does on a nightly basis in an 82 game regular season, but they are so much more important come playoff time. They stand out so much more come playoff time. So, you know, those are the things that stand out and remind you why this team is so successful come playoff time.
Well, we know everyone was extremely excited to get a lot of the guys back, but particularly Mark Stone, who makes his return into the lineup. But I want to ask about someone who doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience. In fact, he just has one game under his belt, and that's Logan Thompson. And I wonder, from what you're seeing in the room, the excitement of the guys that he was able to perform in that game one win.
They are extremely excited for him. I think, you know, Jonathan Marchessault's kind of face said it all when he was asked about it pretty quickly there post game. Those two go at it at practice. In fact, it was that morning skate, Jonathan Marchessault put one past him and is screaming, celebrating. And in my mind watching, I'm thinking, hey, shouldn't you be like wanting this guy to go and confident in this game? Why are you chirping him? And, you know, doing not only doing everything you can to score on him right now, but then celebrating the way you are. But that's just the way that those two are. They love to keep each other competitive. And then obviously, you know, he was extremely excited to see Logan get his first playoff win. Everybody was. There was I think one of the best photos I saw is one of him and Ivan Barbashev after the game. There's just such a look of happiness and relief on Logan Thompson's face. He even admitted going in, there was a different level of excitement toward it. He didn't call it nerves, but, you know, said, I have to approach it the same. There's a different level of excitement. He had been watching playoff hockey for the 2-3 days leading up to it. And that just builds the excitement. But, you know, one can assume that that builds the nerves as well. So it's a really good team and close-knit team that he has in front of him that he is also a big part of. So I think that for him, it's probably relief. And I think for everyone else, it's just excitement and happiness. And Jonathan Marcheseau even talked about post-game that a lot of people have had to face adversity this year, and Logan Thompson's one of them. You know, there were stretches that he, you know, wasn't the happiest with his game. So to come in and, you know, started off with a win. And another thing, just like the rest of the team, right, it's important come playoff time to be able to win when you don't have your best game. That's what it's going to take. It is the teams that find a way to win. So the fact that he did lock it down after that third goal from Dallas and didn't let that impact in the rest of the way, I think that more than anything is something that he's going to be able to build on, just to know that he's able to in that setting, in that atmosphere. And I don't know how much you could hear through the television, through the radio. I'm sure you could hear it a lot, but those fans were not exactly going easy on him. So they weren't going easy on a lot of people, I guess, not going easy on Mark Stone, not going easy on Logan Thompson. So, you know, to get through it the way he did, I think it'll be really good for him moving forward, so that even if things do go wrong at any point, he knows that he has the ability to bounce back.
And I think that makes it even more impressive, given how hostile the fans were, that the Golden Knights are the only team in the first round to get a win in game one on the road. So they went into Dallas and they picked up the win there, despite all the things going on around them. One last one for you, Ashley, because in the first round, the local television broadcasts are still around. They still get to do the games. And I just wonder, from your perspective, how fun is that to be able to do some playoff hockey in the first round?
I mean, it's unbelievable. It honestly, it's always extremely sad when the first round ends, because as much as I enjoy the opportunity, we all enjoy the opportunity to continue providing content like this and content on the digital channels and, you know, hopefully be on your local news as the playoffs go on. The best part of our job is that live in-game telling you the stories as they're happening. So to be able to do it in the first round, it's the reason that you do it. It's, you know, I know you feel the same way, Justin, with this job. It's a job that it's a privilege to do. It's not a job that you have to do. It's a job that's a privilege to do. And it always feels fun. And if this time of year isn't the most fun for you, then you're not doing the right thing, because you get an opportunity to watch playoff hockey, talk about playoff hockey like we're doing right now. And also, it's my job in particular, when the emotions of the players ramp up, my job also becomes a lot more fun, because our players are very great about being pretty open with us. I feel like you can, especially if we're able to get them for interviews on, you know, kind of an immediate basis, I think that their emotions come through very clearly on camera and in interviews and everything like that. So it all becomes a lot more fun. It all becomes a lot more, just as it gets more important for the players, it feels like it gets more important for us too. And I'm just glad we have so many fans that are watching, following along of the Golden Knights, that tune in, watch the games, listen to programming like this. It's such a special, special city, special hockey market, special team, special fan base. And again, as you look at the attitude and the mood around the room, really since the time playoffs has been clinched, it's, you know, a lot of belief in that room. And to be around it on a daily basis is honestly inspiring. And I hope that it's something that the fans can feel and can see as well.
Well, a big game two coming up for the VGK against the Dallas Stars. You can catch Ashley, Dave Gosher, and Shay Knighty on the Scripps Sports broadcast for game two. And Ashley, thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks, Justin. Have a great game two.
A big thank you to Ashley Weiss for joining us on today's show. After the break, we'll take a look at what's going on through the rest of the playoffs and see what might lie ahead for the VGK.
Listen up! Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959. Go to terribles.com for more details.
Jack Daniels has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of: moments. Those are on us to create. You see, hockey fans, we only get one shot at this thing called life. So let's make sure we're making the most of every moment, whether it's showing up for our team or sipping a glass of Jack while cheering at the radio. Don't let a single moment go to waste. Make it count. Jack Daniels.
Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Copyright 2022 Jack Daniels. All rights reserved.
Before we leave you on VGK today, Wanted to take a look around the NHL, see how some of the other playoff series are going on, and recap some of the scores from last night's action. Of course, we'll start out in the Western Conference. A couple of games out west yesterday, the Nashville Predators taking down the Vancouver Canucks 4-1 to tie that series at one game apiece. And the Colorado Avalanche in Winnipeg getting a win to tie that series at one after taking down the Jets 5-2. And a couple interesting numbers coming out of both of those games. First, in the Predators-Canucks matchup, you just look at how much Vancouver was able to get on net in the game, and some of the numbers after it were quite astounding, really. You look at the overall shot attempts, 84 for the Canucks, just 36 for the Nashville Predators, but Nashville got them in the shot block department. The Predators blocked 30 Canucks shots in the game, only allowing 18 to get in on UC Saros as they picked up a 4-1 win against Casey DeSmith and the Vancouver Canucks, as Thatcher Demko out again for Vancouver, suffering what is believed to be another knee injury, the thing that first kept him sidelined for much of the last part of the regular season. Taking a look at the other game, mentioned some of the numbers from the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. It was another rough outing for goaltender Connor Hellebuyck in the postseason, and for as much as we know about Connor Hellebuyck in the regular season, he's had a rough outing of late in the playoffs. You look at the last six playoff games for Connor Hellebuyck, record of just 1-5, 4.34 goals against, and an .876 save percentage. And of course, this is after a game in Game 1 on Sunday where the Colorado Avalanche scored six goals and lost because they gave up seven to the Winnipeg Jets. So when you think about a potential second-round opponent for the VGK and what would happen if they were to win this series, there's some shaky goaltending on the other side of things waiting for them, and potentially an opportunity for a Golden Knights offense and a Golden Knights special teams unit on the power play that is really clicking right now to take advantage of that moving forward in round two. But, of course, the Golden Knights still have three more wins to get to that point, and their focus will remain on the Dallas Stars. Elsewhere on yesterday's scoreboard, we take a look at a couple of Eastern Conference matchups. One of them going to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, 4-3, as they grab a 2-0 series lead over the Capitals. And the other from South Florida, where the Panthers take down the Lightning 3-2 in overtime on Carter Verhaeghe's overtime winner. And it's impressive the run that Carter Verhaeghe has been on in terms of how clutch he has been for this Panthers team. He has played in 14 overtime games in the postseason, and he has the game winner in 5 of those. So not only a good chance that the Panthers win the game when they get to overtime, but a good chance that Carter Verhaeghe is going to be the one to do it as the Panthers take a 2-0 series lead over the Lightning. Taking a look at the other games that will be alongside the VGK today, you look at the Bruins and the Maple Leafs as the series transitions over to Toronto, with that tied at 1 after Toronto picked up a win in Boston last time out. And of course, in the Pacific Division, the Edmonton Oilers already with a 1-0 lead, looking to make it 2-0 against the LA Kings. And the Kings will certainly be looking to contain number 97 Connor McDavid a bit more than they did in Game 1, as he racked up 5 assists in Game 1 to help the Oilers score 7 goals in that victory, becoming the first player to have 5 assists in a playoff game since 1998. And interesting, a team in Edmonton that the Golden Knights were heavily linked to in terms of who they may play in the first round. And we thought that might be the case up until the final hour of the regular season, but the Golden Knights move into the Central Division bracket, and they've got some other teams to keep on their mind as they look to move forward in this postseason. So transitioning back to the VGK, of course they have an all-important Game 2 tonight against the Dallas Stars. 6:30 Pacific time is the puck drop, and the Golden Knights again looking to take a 2-0 lead in the series after taking a 3-0 lead in last year's Western Conference Final. Early parts in the series against Dallas have been kind to the VGK over the past couple of seasons. Another reminder for you that there is an official watch party for today's game at Lee's Family Forum. The watch party begins at 5:30, with the game, of course, starting at 6:30, and you can enjoy pregame activations both in the arena and outside on the Sam and Ash Tilt Yard, including a DJ, visits from the VGK cast, giveaways, and raffle prizes. Don't worry, admission and parking are free, so head on down to Henderson and Lee's Family Forum for the official Game 2 watch party. I also want to let you know that whether it's a home or away game, all fans decked out in VGK gear get an exclusive 10% off their bill at Nelly's Southern Kitchen. Golden Knights goals taste even better with Nelly's mouth-watering Southern Delights. Thanks, as always, for tuning into VGK today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform, as we'll be back every day throughout the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs with new episodes. Stay tuned for tomorrow, as Shane Knighty will join the show to recap Game 2 for the Golden Knights. Justin Russo signing off for VGK Today, presented by BetMGM.